Blog
Hello,
Radio.
Welcome to Spotlight for Justice. I'm Michelle Bart, and my co-host will be Dr. Kathy Mathis. Dr. Mathis and I agree with Dr. Paul Farmer's quote, "The idea that some lives matter less is the root of all what is wrong in the world." Spotlight for Justice reignites our previous podcast, Voices for Justice, and our show now will continue to highlight cases and injustices so we can have a voice for victims, survivors, families, and communities. We will talk about law, order, and justice. We have great guests lined up for this year, so without further ado, I'd like to bring on my co-host, Dr. Kathy Mathis. Hi, Dr. Mathis. Dr. Mathis, are you with us?
I am with you. Thank you.
Welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to talk with you today and our listeners.
Wonderful. And you're calling in from Southern California, correct?
Correct.
So tell us and tell the listeners why you and I and the board of directors at the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation decided to reignite our podcast to have a voice for justice, but now we're going to spotlight and shine a light for justice and injustices around the world. So tell us what your thoughts are.
Well, first of all, it's very exciting that we're doing this podcast because I have been an advocate ever since I was a little girl. My mother demonstrated and modeled for me what another woman does for people who can't use their voice and who need somebody to find them their help that they need, the resources that they need to speak out on their behalf when they have not found their voice and have been able to use it. So as a little girl, I would watch her as she would do this for women, and she was also a huge animal lover, and she would advocate for pets. And so growing up, it was just naturally part of my personhood in standing up for people who were, quote, the underdog, or who someone was picking on, or somebody was bullying and that kind of thing, to be able to say, you can't do that, you need to stop doing that, getting help for that person and the person they were picking on, that kind of thing. So growing up in the environment of having a mother model for me, the fact that there are injustices in this world and there are people who need to stand up and put a spotlight on those injustices and try to change our system has been very natural for me in my own work in the mental health field. And so when you and I have talked on many occasions and other people that I've talked with about how there is such a need for social justice and social change and for to try to be corrected, well, you can't correct things unless you put a spotlight on those things that need to be changed and improved so that everybody else can also be aware of those things. And then together we can make a difference. Now, we can make a difference one at a time, but there's power in numbers. There's power in education. There's power in information. And things can get changed a lot faster when there's more of us focusing on different things to say, yeah, that needs to be changed. I want to be a part of that change. So for me and for, you know, NW Cave and the mission and the purpose that we have, our mission and purpose is to help stop exploitation and abuse and to help the survivors of exploitation and abuse in our country on a national level. So Spotlight for Justice came about because we want our voices to be heard through the media of podcasting, it gets out to a lot more people. We can get more people, you know, behind an injustice to try to help make it a justice for somebody. So for me, this whole process of, you know, talking with you and talking with others, the podcast, because it fits the mission and the purpose, not only of NWK, but also of my personal experiences and my personal viewpoint. And also it creates for me another aspect to my morality, and that is it also can create a moral clarity that when you're in front of somebody who's suffering and you have the tools at your disposal to help alleviate that suffering and even to eradicate it in some cases, it is our moral duty to act on that, to make that difference, not to sit back and go, oh, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. Oh, you go do that. I'll support you as you do that. That's not the way life is. We are all interconnected with each other. And for those who are spiritual people, your neighbor as yourself. Social justice, we are all interconnected socially as family members, so to speak, on the face of this earth, walking this journey together to try to improve the injustices that are in our world by joining together to say we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's one of the reasons I think this is really important and that I could get behind it, be excited about being a part of it. In the work that I do as a mental health clinician, as a trainer, as an advocate, as an expert witness in court cases, et cetera, I don't do that for any other reason but to be a voice for somebody who needs my courage, my strength, and my knowledge and my ability to stand up and say, this is what this person had happen to him. This is what this person needs. We all need to hear what this person needs and wants and be a part of helping that person achieve that for themselves because they are too weak to use their voice right now. So for
not
me,
only,
that sort of something.
And not only may they feel weak and have the inability to have someone listen to them, but as an advocate for victims, children, patients, what I have found in the course of my time doing this, I have over 30 years experience in advocacy. I have found most recently that victims of crime, in particular, domestic violence, sexual assault, missing children, I'm finding that victims, although the laws are there to protect us and laws are in place to also bring justice for us, the laws are not working for what they were there for. The victims in so many instances, especially recently with a 50-year murder case that we'll have on our second episode, a rape case, ending the backlog of rape kits, domestic violence where victims do everything they're supposed to do. You know, everything is in place for us to stand up against our perpetrators. But in the end, the victims are the ones actually losing this battle, and the perpetrators, whatever the genre of crime is, seems to have more civil liberties and due process. And I have not gotten as angry as I have in the last few years for our clients, people that are close to me, for myself, etc. And so it's really important for us to have that voice or have that platform for individuals to come on and talk, whether they're an expert in the field or a survivor, as you're going to hear, that survived a horrible monster who's been convicted two times now for murder and rape in the first degree, or rape cases, etc. And it's just mind-boggling. And I have learned in the course of the last few years that people or agencies that say they're advocates, if they're not sitting in court holding their client's hand or hugging them or wiping their tears away or advocating, why hasn't somebody's rape kit come back in almost a year? And stepping out of their comfort zones as an agency to say enough is enough, we're here to advocate for this victim or this survivor, I have found that there's a new avenue for NW CAVE after over a decade of service. The National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation started out because we wanted to have shelters for human trafficking victims that needed deprogramming and needed to get away from their traffickers. But we soon discovered that why should we wait until that is needed? We need to advocate. We need to bring information, awareness, education on how the resources that are available so that people, one, don't get exploited, don't get trafficked, or two, if they do, there's services for you, and here are these services from our partners. And so over the years, NW CAVE has prided ourselves on emphasizing we're a coalition, because not one agency in this world and not one individual in this world can solve the epidemic of all crime or all violence against each other in this world. And it takes a village. And so as a coalition, we partner with people that make a difference. We partner with national organizations. We partner with individuals in grassroots situations. And so I'm very proud of where we started and where we've come full circle, and the new avenues that we have times. We live in a mean world, a violent world, and there is hope and there is help. But let's try to prevent things before they start. And if we can't, then we take it to the media. Media does matter. I've made a living as a media consultant and publicist almost my entire adult life. And I can tell you, not all media matters, but if you do it the right way, it does. And where people don't want the media's attention, those are the people that you should be concerned about, because those are the people that are afraid they're going to be outed for not doing what they're there to do. And so I'm hoping that this show will bring that kind of conversation to the forefront that says enough is enough. You know, 90%, if not more these days, victims do not get the justice they deserve, the voice that they should have. They're not getting served and protected like they should. And that's
and
horrible.
If I can interject
and
right here.
Please do.
Sorry to override you, but I just wanted to
No,
add
you're
to that.
Fine.
And that is absolutely correct. And the reason for that and reasons for that, we will be talking about on our show. because there's a lot of different reasons why victims are not being recognized, number one, as a victim. Number two, they're not provided justice in our court system and in law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to interject that. So I'm sorry I sort of talked over you a little bit.
No, no, you're fine.
These are important.
And it does make it kind of when you're on a podcast and you're in one state and I'm in another, you know, hopefully I know you'll be back out here in March in studio. So that will make things a little lighter too. But, you know, with this particular podcast, I want to inform our listeners that we're going to touch on things that are meant to hold people accountable. We will refrain from pinpointing any particular individuals or agencies, et cetera, because it's not just one individual. It's not just, it's like saying all police are bad. They're not. 98% of the police officers on the street are there to serve and protect, and they're doing their job. But there's bad seeds in every industry. And we need to speak these injustices out because, as you will see in upcoming episodes, when rape victims go and do everything that everybody always asks of a victim, whether you're a human trafficking victim, domestic violence, sexual assault, if you don't make the phone call and then all of a sudden something happens and police say, well, you've never made a report before, you're bad. But then if you do make reports, you're not listened to. So there are so many injustices, and it's getting really out of hand. And we're going to call a spade on this show because these individuals need to be heard. On the murder trial that you'll hear in episode two, we went through court for 2 weeks on a serial murder case. And during that time, we heard from two awesome survivors of this horrible monster. This happened in the 70s, almost 52 years ago. And this one survivor, what she was told by cop back then as a 15-year-old is the same thing that clients and people we work with in our missing children's division today still hear. Every life matters. It doesn't matter your culture. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your age. We've heard COVID is to blame for lack of staffing. We've heard, oh, we don't have the staff. We don't have this. We don't have that. But they had the same issues 50 years ago. And so 50 years later, we're ahead of the game where DNA was able to solve this crime from the 70s. But the demeanor of police when a teenager is missing or reports an issue, things are still almost as similar today as they were then. We've got
issues.
I
agree, and I think that's really important for our listeners to hear, is that we are going to be calling a spade. We're also going to be talking about some things that might emotionally charge them when they hear some of these traumas and injustices and things that need to be changed. And hopefully our listeners will take the emotions that are coming their direction from the different topics that we will be talking about and spotlighting and standing in our truth on those topics, that they will take those emotions and make them motivating emotions to try to make a difference as well. Not only are we going to be calling a spade, but we're also going to be asking, you know, our experts and things like that, what are some of the solutions? What are some of the things that we as a community, that we as people can do to make a difference, also to help possibly them or their agencies or their work? How can we be of benefit as well? We don't want to just complain about something. We want to find the solutions and some things that people can actually be a part of, apply and do and make a difference themselves, rather than just being people who sit back and go, oh, that's horrible. Somebody should do something about that. Each one of us should be doing something about that. Because if whatever we're talking about happens to you or a family member or a friend, trust me, you should be doing something about it.
Exactly. And it will hit close to home. And I can guarantee you that there is not a person in this entire world that has a perfect life. There is not a person in this entire world that doesn't know somebody that has been a victim of a crime or some form of violence, whether it's domestic violence, bullying, you know, human trafficking, sexual assault, any of that, gun violence. Somebody gets killed every second of the day in this world by guns.
Yep.
And yet we're still having the conversation. Politics needs to check itself out where violence is concerned, because it doesn't matter which party line you're on. The bottom line is violence doesn't discriminate. And at the end of the day, the due process should be with the victims and those they've, if they've been murdered, those they've left behind. It's such an injustice to continue and have continuances on a rape case where the rape victim did everything society tells her she should do and everything the law tells her are in place for her to do. So that will be one of our shows you'll hear also, where going through a rape kit for 13 hours is a horrible re-victimization of a victim that's already traumatized. But when the police are able to do the investigation, hand in all the evidence and everything else, and the perpetrator still lies in court to the judges, and nobody, DA or judges alike, do not put their foot down on the continued continuances for her due process, that's where Spotlight for Justice is going to come in. We're going to hold people accountable where victims who rely on NW Cave and our ability to get their story told truthfully, for them to get some comfort in knowing someone's listening to them, we're going to continue to do what we've done for 12 years and work with media, work with our podcast and our guests and our experts, and work with the people that are part of NW Cave, because we're here because we have a dream. A world without violence. And we can't pick and choose our battles, just as much as victims of crime and violence can't choose that something happened to them. But what we can do is be there and be a voice for these individuals, and that is what we're going to do. And if the people that we're going to hold accountable are not happy with us, so be it. But at the end of the day, the victims deserve a voice.
Absolutely. And the other component that NW Cave also does, which I want our listeners to understand, is we also put our money where our mouth is. As Michelle was just talking about, you know, victims going into court, and yet the perpetrators are being listened to and the victims are being ignored and things like that. Our training department at the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, we understand that part of the issues and part of the problem is that courts, number one, don't understand at all. So we train judges. Do they understand that law enforcement doesn't always know what they need to know about victimology? So we train law enforcement. We train professions in our country that want the information, that want the training, so that they can also hold accountable themselves if they're in those different areas of professions that need to be held accountable, and also can have education being offered to them on the topic that they need to improve and be educated on. I know when I train judges, batters or predators or perpetrators at all, they know victims. And they get tired of victims because victims usually when they go into court are weepy and upset and emotional, as well they should be, having gone through the trauma that they've gone through. But the predator goes in, lies, wears their wonderful two-faced mask, and says, oh, not me. I would never do that. And the judge buys it. The judge is undertrained. The judge knows laws, but the judge does not know characteristics and the manipulation of a predator and how they use the court system to their benefit. So NWK isn't just speaking out. We're doing something as well for training and education to all of the different departments and professions in our country that need that extra training in human trafficking, in domestic violence, in predators and perpetrators, in victimology, in child abuse, you know, all of those different areas. NWK is out there making a huge difference in what it is doing in our world to be a voice for those who need our voice, to be educators for those who need to have professions educated, and to spotlight some of these things that are problems in our society and in our systems that keep re-victimizing our victims.
Exactly. And I want to tell our listeners before our introduction show ends that we'd like to give a shout out to our partners at KXRW 99.9 FM in the greater Portland, Southwest Washington area. We are a proud co-founder of KXRW. And we will, they've also provided us over $1,000 worth of studio equipment for our new studio, where so much of our podcast, our webinars, interviews, et cetera, will take place. So thank you so much to Susan and her staff over at KXRW here in the Pacific Northwest. Also like to give a shout out as new shows come about, you will hear an intro music from country singer Anthony Mossberg. We partnered with him way back in the beginning. And his wonderful song, Can Anyone Hear Me Now, will be our intro for this show because it's so fitting that we want to make sure the victims have a voice, the survivors have a voice, anyone that victims may have left behind, because we have to remember there's always the victim. But there's a lot of people associated with that individual. And if they didn't survive the violence, there's loved ones, there's children left behind. And if we don't, if we're not there for the children and their loved ones, we're only reinventing a vicious cycle. And those individuals may grow up to be so resentful of police, society, may go through trauma themselves, trying to ignore the pain that they've been through because they've lost a loved one to violence. We need to stop the cycle.
And that's what I hope this show will be. The National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation was founded on the principle that we have a dream, a world without violence. That is a huge, broad statement. And we do what we can and how we can do it. We've been grassroots. We're a small but mighty organization. We're headquartered in Vancouver, Washington, with satellite offices in Arizona, California, Oregon. And we also have active cases such as in Colorado Springs, Ankara Nichols, which will be a show in itself as well. We have an active missing children's division, which so many of our cases that you will hear about have come out of that division of ours. We have other divisions. Learn more about us at nwcave.org. We encourage you to follow us on social media. All of our social media, you can find us at nwcave. And we do have a Facebook page for the podcast. It's facebook.com/spotlightforjustice. And going forward, again, we thank KXRW, we thank our leadership and our team, but we also thank the victims and survivors and their families that are entrusting us to tell their stories. And our next show will be on the Warren Forest murder trial, and we are thrilled to have the survivor that will walk everybody through what she endured in the 70s at the hands of this monster to live to tell her story that put him away for a second time. So that is what you can expect from us. And we both come to you, Dr. Mathis and myself, with lived experiences. I am a rape survivor from 1992 on Halloween night, raped by a friend. I did not report it. I did not do a rape kit. And today I fight for that. And I fight for people that need our help. And Dr. Mathis, any last words?
Well, it's a privilege and an honor, as I was saying earlier, and I also want to thank our listeners. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of our podcast and for being a part of our community that spotlights injustices and does something about it.
Definitely. So stay tuned. If you can't catch a live version, many of our shows will be advertised on Instagram, Facebook, social media, et cetera. And there will be a call-in number for guests to call in and ask our guests information or questions that you may have of them. And then others, like this show, will be recorded, and you can listen to the podcast at your leisure. And so we thank everybody for supporting us and trusting us, and together we can end violence in our society. So we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you at the second episode. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Mathis.
Be safe and be well. You're welcome. Thank you. Be safe, everybody.